We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and I am coming to you from the studios of WMIE FM 91.5. We are 2 days away from Good Friday. And this is the Passion Week, one of my favorite weeks of the year. I always get very excited about this time of the year because we are celebrating Christ's victory over death, hell, and the grave. And so for the next few days, we are going to be discussing the scriptures that lead up to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there are certain things that this week says to me. And so I want to take you this morning to Luke, the 19th chapter, and the 28th verse. And we're going to read a pretty extensive passage of scripture today. And then I'm going to take you to another place and tell you why I am so excited about this passage of Scripture. Verse number 28 of Luke 19. By the way, I do want to invite you, prior to our reading of the Word, I want to invite you to our Easter Resurrection Sunday services. This coming Sunday, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have our worship service at 10:30. We do not have a service on Sunday night. We have special activities for the kids where they learn about the true meaning of Easter, and that is the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a number of treats for them as well, but we want to celebrate. There's a luncheon that follows. We want to invite you out for that. Also, on Good Friday, that night from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., we will be having our annual Night of Honor all-night prayer meeting. We would like to invite you out for that. And so if you would remember those two events, the Good Friday Night of Honor prayer meeting, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., and then Sunday morning, our Resurrection Sunday services, we would love to have you come and be a part of those. Be praying with us that people's lives will be transformed to the glory of God this coming Sunday morning. So Luke 19, verse number 28 says this: when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. So we're going to stop the reading there. Jesus was fully aware of the Father's time frame. He knew. He was telling people in advance of this trip to Jerusalem what was going to take place there. He knew that he was going to be arrested. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew that he was going to raise again from the dead on the third day. All of these things he knew, and as much as he tried to prepare people for it, they still were not much as far as alertness to what was going on. And so as Jesus is drawing near the city on this, what we call the triumphal entry, it took place on Palm Sunday, one of my favorite days of the year, that as he was drawing near the city, he instructs the people to go and make preparations. Now, was it because Jesus was not able to walk into the city? Absolutely not. He could have walked there just fine and dandy. It was not that he was incapable of getting there on foot. What was important is Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Okay, I want you to remember that. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And so he says, you're going to go into the city. You're going to find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. And I will tell you this, if you have never tried to ride an unbroken animal, you are in for quite an adventure if you try and do that. When I read this story, I recognize the sovereignty of God over all of creation. You see, it wasn't just an animal that had been broken and was now suitable for riding. That wasn't the case at all. It was a donkey, a colt that had never been ridden before. It had never had a burden placed on it like this. And Jesus sat on him, and he ushered the King of Kings into Jerusalem. I want to just take a moment and let you know, maybe you're listening to this program and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Maybe you're a person that's listening, and no matter how many different people have tried to instill discipline into your life, they have failed. Well, I want to speak to you this morning and let you know that Jesus is not just any other person. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is Lord over all creation. And Jesus can accomplish in your life what no other person could accomplish. There won't be any bucking or screaming or hollering or discomfort. There is just an acknowledgement, you are my King. And so he sends these disciples in, and he even prepares them. He says, listen, if there's anybody who objects to this request that I am sending you on, to this mission that I'm sending you on, this is how you are to respond to them. And the response is, and they said, the Lord has need of him. And so I want to take just a moment to tell you that the reason that God wants you to come to him is because he needs you. He loves you. He wants to give you a mark of distinction. He wants to call you out from the extraordinary to the, from the norm to the extraordinary. He wants you to be exceptional. There was no other colt that was going to be able to say, the first person that I ever carried was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, Jesus is not looking for us to carry him around on our back. He is looking for us to carry him around in our heart. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know what is going on inside of a person's life, if you want to know who is having the most influence in that person's life, listen to the words that come out of their mouth. And it will share with you what is going on in people's heart. It will tell you about the environment. Remember, the scripture says company affects character. Bad company corrupts good character. And so there may be people who object, but when you say, listen, the sovereign Lord has need of him, it says, then they brought him to Jesus. You and I, we need that sort of authority. Let me turn this around for just a moment. And that is, if you're a believer, if you're a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you have been following him for a while, and you feel like God is saying, you know, I have a mission for you, you need to have a conversation with Jesus. Okay, what is the mission? What is the mission? How do you want me to respond if there is any adversity? And you and I, we need to be able to say the same way that the disciples did, the Lord has need of him. We are giving you the words that God has given to us. And if we respond that way, if we respond, we are a man, you know, my position is I am a man of authority. I'm a man under authority. Because I'm a man under authority, I act in authority and say to this one, go and he goes, and to this one, come and he comes. When you have a burden in your life, when you have a mission, and whether it's to a person that you know, a person that you're just praying for, when God says, go to them, speak to them, then you need to go in the authority of Jesus Christ. And I believe that when we act in God's authority, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me, therefore go into all the world and make disciples. That is when we are the most effective. You see, God is never going to commission you to go on an assignment that he will not give you the instruction and the empower. The Bible says that when you stand before kings, that the Holy Spirit will give you words to say. God is bigger than the adversity. God is when he is the author of the mission, he is the one who will make provision. He is the one that will overcome every adversity. It goes on in verse number 35, and it says, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. This is not something that we would see in today's day and time. You don't see people taking off their coats and throwing it down in front of vehicles that are pulling down the road or anything like that. This is kind of old school, but you've got to remember the streets were a very, very messy place. There was a lot of stuff on the road, especially in a society where animals were the primary mode of transportation. There's in spite of my best efforts, I've only got one dog at my house, and in spite of my best efforts to keep all of the sand and dirt and debris away from my back door, I have a very difficult time doing it. No matter how much I sweep it off, clean it off, keep it edged and all of that sort of stuff, it still finds its way there. And so the coats and the palm branches were designed to be a barrier between the dirt and the filth and the grime and the colt that was carrying Jesus. It says, and as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Okay? So what's going on? If you see a guy driving down the road in a car, very rarely are you going to begin to be rejoicing and praising God, quote, with a loud voice. You know, we've had some very famous people come through. You might stop and you might look. You might point it out to somebody, but very rarely do you see rejoicing with exceeding great joy. But that's exactly what was taking place. And so I want to help you to understand what is going on here in Luke chapter 9. It's or Luke chapter 19, I'm sorry. And I want to take you back to Zechariah chapter 9. And here's the reality. Here's what it says. Verse number 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's Zechariah 9, chapter 9. So now when we look at that verse and we take you back to Luke, the 19th chapter, what you are going to see is that as the people were there that day, as they saw him coming down off of the mountain, coming riding on a colt and headed for Jerusalem, the reason that they began to rejoice was because every one of them knew Zechariah 9:9. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They knew all of the scriptures. They knew that what was taking place here was not an average, ordinary event. Instead, it was Jesus fulfilling the prophecy that had been made about him hundreds of years before in Zechariah 9:9. They knew that what was taking place was fulfillment of prophecy. What was taking place on Palm Sunday was God declaring, I am the God who keeps my word. I am the God who fulfills the prophecies that I have prompted my prophets to declare. I keep my word. And folks, when I look at those verses, when the thing that gets me so excited about the resurrection season is quite simply that statement that I just made to you, that God is a God who keeps his word. God is the God who fulfills his prophecies, not just the prophecies of his first coming, not just the prophecies of his death, but also the prophecy of the prophecies of his second coming. If he was the God who kept his word then, and he does not change, he is the God who keeps his word today for you and for me, and he is coming again. And that call, well, actually, the prophecy told the crowd how they were to respond. Okay? Sometimes if we are in a situation where we don't really know what is going on, I was reading an article a week or so ago about visitors when they come to church, about what they don't know what to expect. If you don't know what to expect, it can be understandable that you don't know how to respond. And so as a pastor, I've got to do a very good job of explaining what is taking place. You know, if there's a moving of the Spirit of God, if there's an utterance, I need to be able to explain that, what is going on. Why do we clap our hands? Why do we lift our hands? Why do we sing? Why do we rejoice? And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about, never mind. Let me go on to this. It told them here in this passage, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. It says, behold, your king is coming. I want you to understand, it is not just a king. It is not just the king of the country. He's my king. He's my sovereign. He's my provider. He's my forgiver. He's my savior. He's my healer. And he's coming. Okay? And I want you to understand that he came that first time and everything changed. The whole universe shifted on its axis, if you will, on its spiritual axis. Everything changed. Now the king has come and there's a new dynamic that is taking place. And so the response for the people as prescribed in the prophecy is this: to rejoice greatly and to shout. And it literally means to rejoice with ear-splitting volume. How long has it been since you lifted up your voice and gave God praise to the full extent of your vocal cords? Have you given him the full range of your vocal cords more than you've given them to, say, your favorite basketball team or your favorite football team? Have you given him a full spectrum of praise, of rejoicing? Because let me tell you what I've learned. People have no problem lifting up their voice when they're displeased. People have no problem lifting their voice when they're angry. They are able to communicate it without any challenges whatsoever. I believe that the command to rejoice and to lift our voice in volume, I believe that it is an appropriate biblical response to the awareness that we have that the King has come into our community. And so it says that the whole multitude began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And verse number 39, and some of the Pharisees, we're in Luke chapter 19, verse 39, some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, there are some people who are out of order in this passage. There are some people who are out of order. However, it is not the people who are shouting and rejoicing. It is the people who were supposed to know the word better than anybody else. And they said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Don't you see what they are doing? They are rejoicing as if you are the Messiah. Rebuke them." And the reality was they had the same evidence that the crowd had. They just chose to respond in unbelief. And Jesus said, "I will not rebuke them." I tell you what, you praise God, and even if you mess up something, even if you in your wholehearted intentions, if you do something that is out of line, God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows what's going on inside of you. So he has this tremendous filtering system that can take anything that is maybe not done 100% appropriately, and he can refine it. He can narrow the frequency. He can adjust the frequency, whatever needs to be done, because he knows that you are worshiping him with all of your heart. He says, if my people do not respond, listen, this is the true message here. If my people do not respond to their coming king the way that they are supposed to, according to Zechariah 9:9, the rest of my creation will step up and supersede them, and the rocks will cry out in praise to me instead. You see, I don't want any rock having to rise up and take my place. I want to be a man of praise. I want to be a man of great rejoicing because of the fact that Jesus has come. Let me draw down the end of this passage. Jesus, as he drew near the city, he wept over it, saying, "Truly, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to leave to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." You know, I'm never going to be reprimanded by God for somebody else's being out of timing. But I am susceptible to correction from God when he said, "I was right here in your midst and you didn't respond to my visit. You didn't respond to my presence." And the result of that, what happens here according to this passage, when we don't respond, when God's presence is crying out for us to acknowledge him with praise and worship and obedience, when we don't respond, the only option that is left for us is desolation. And God does not want you to be desolated. He does not want you to be desolate. He does not want you to be abandoned. He does not want you to be oppressed. Jesus came to set the captives free. And so I just want to challenge you and challenge myself that over the next few days, we're now at Wednesday. We've got Thursday and Friday, Saturday. Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Could we ask God to cause us to be more aware of his presence? Could we ask him to, over the next few days, speak to us what task he would have us to do? If there's someone he would have us to speak to, could we ask him, "God, how would you have me respond to adversity? God, how can I prepare for your entrance into my coworkers' lives? What would you have me do? What would you have me say?" And God, would you birth in me a spirit of praise and worship that is fitting for the arrival of the King? I don't want a rock crying out in my place. I want to make sure that I use everything that God has given me to worship him with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, and my voice. Let's cry out in prayer here as we close this broadcast today, shall we? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. You are not neglectful, but Lord, you are intent on coming. Lord, you came the first time. You were coming to Jerusalem on that day to make a triumphant journey to the cross. God, you have prophesied that you are coming again. And Lord, as it says in Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." We are looking forward to your return. I pray, God, that this resurrection season, that the saints would be rejoicing, that we would be listening for your directions, that we would be listening for how to deal with adversity. God, that we would praise you in the manner you are deserving of. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."